your attention.
Make some noise!
This is
Swerve.
Motivating teens to take a positive route.
Let's get rerouted.
Send again with your man Frank for Wills.
Everybody go. Right now.
You're now listening to the sounds of Swerve.
It's about to go down.
What's good, Swerve Nation? What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the gateway to the hottest music and real talk radio. This is your man, Frank for Wills. I have you for the next 2 hours, and while we're here, we're going to play nothing but the best in gospel hip-hop, some other great music, some new artists, and we're also going to get you in on the conversation that we have tonight as we're talking to my special guest, Minister Travis Boyd from Greenville, South Carolina, all about evangelism. And tonight we're standing on 1 Corinthians 9:22, and it says this: "To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some." That's the goal that we want to see and hear you achieving here on Swerve. That is the cause and the purpose of my special guest tonight, Travis Boyd. He is doing so many wonderful things, feeding the homeless, doing giveaways, getting out into the streets and just reaching people where they are. And one of the things about a lot of ministry that I notice is that, like with youth ministry, feeding the homeless, it's not one of those beautiful, pretty ministries. It's not like your pulpit ministry where you're always going to have the AC, the air, or somebody giving you the accolades. No, we're talking about some of the ugly gutter stuff, you know, the stuff that requires you to be uncomfortable, to be inconvenienced, if you will, and get outside the four walls. And so he's also talking to us about how to get the youth more involved in these activities as well. And he has some really great strategies that he's going to share with you. And we're also going to be ministering and talking to our men this month in November, going through the end of the year, I believe. We're talking about men's health, men, well-being. And there's a lot of men that come to church and are doing things out of familiarity just because it's what we've been doing all along. And so there's no real emotion to it. There's no heart to it. And they're hiding, masking pains. And so we're going to minister to that on tonight. And so if you want to stick around, tag your neighbor, tell a friend that Swerve is on the air. And we're talking to Minister Travis Boyd all about evangelism and doing it effectively.
You're listening to Swerve.
All right.
Motivating teens to take a positive route.
Hey, buddy.
Let's get rerouted.
What's good, Swerve Nation? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the gateway to the hottest music in Real Talk Radio. This is your man, Frank for Reals, Swerve Teen Talk Radio, and we have a special guest on the phone with us today. This is Minister Travis Boyd, all the way from Greenville, South Carolina. Bro, how you doing? And thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great, bro. How about yourself?
Man, all good, all good. I want to give you special props, man, as a man of God, as a minister, for the work you're doing around the city of Greenville. And so we just want to get you to open up and talk a little bit about the ministry and the ministries, the extension of ministry that you have, because you're doing a lot. Your hands is in a lot of things, man. And so, but before we get to that stuff, man, I want people to know who you are. So introduce yourself, talk a little bit about your family and maybe some fun things that you like to do.
Okay. Yeah. My name is Minister Travis Boyd. I'm associate minister at Evergreen Baptist Church in Anderson, South Carolina, founder of TL Boyd Ministries. So basically, what I do a lot, I have a passion for outreach, for reaching out to people that's less fortunate, that's homeless, that's without. I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, born and raised, District 25, that's on the south side of Greenville. I have four children, three girls and one son. Uh-huh. I have two grandkids, a boy and a girl. I graduated from Greenville Technical College with a associate's degree in welding. In 2008, I got certified in welding.
Okay.
I have a master's degree in ministry. I have a doctorate in ministry. Family-wise, I have a brother, half sister. And, you know, I just love family. I'm very family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up without, so I'm very family-oriented.
Yeah, that'll do it. And you also rap a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, I felt like, you know, I rapped in the past when before I came to God and gave my life to God. So I feel like that I can still utilize those talents, but not for negative, but for good.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, yeah. That's good, man. That's good. So what's some of the fun things, like outside of ministry, if you're not, you know, ministering to the homeless or in the church and with your family, what's some fun things that you like to do?
So I like shooting pool. I like shooting pool. I like spending time with the family. I like cooking out. I like traveling. I like
Who's your football team, bro? Who's your football team?
Come on now, Cowboys. You know it.
My man. Okay. We good. And I thought you was going to say Panthers for a minute there, because, you know, we play the Panthers.
No, sir.
Coming up. That's what's up. So, something else we want to know about you, man, because of your ministry, Travis Boyd Ministries. Talk a little bit about the vision of that ministry. What is your mission? What's the goals of that mission? I mean, the goals of your ministry.
So our statement is anointed for purpose, empowered to serve. So I just love to encourage people about, you know, kingdom over competition. You know, it's more kingdom than competition, and just letting people know that they are worthy and they're worth it.
Yeah.
You know, some people feel like their past life, they're not worthy to come to Christ. They're not worthy to come to God. They've done too much dirt or bad things in their life, and they feel like they got to clean themselves up before they come. But that's the whole reason why we come to God. So the overall purpose is to just see people saved and see people delivered, generational curses broken and cycles broken.
What's some of the community achievements that you can kind of think about, like right now? What's some of the things that kind of come to mind that you guys done as you've gone out into the community?
Well, some things that just come up to mind is more of feeding the homeless, helping people find shelter, helping people find those resources to aid with them changing their lives, and going into communities with the less fortunate, the youth, and kind of mentoring to them, talking to them, and doing things to them, and just, you know, feeding them encouraging words and things of that nature.
Now earlier you mentioned something about you said the word competition. And when you say competition, do you mean that within like the body of Christ, or just between people? Do you sense or see a spirit of competition rather than, you know, joining together and doing things?
Yeah, I see a lot of competition and with the church, and not just the church, you know, with different organizations. But my thing is, if we come together as a collective whole, we can make a more powerful impact in our communities, in our homes, and in our churches.
Right. Kind of takes the stress of the workload off of you guys, although you guys are doing like a phenomenal job, because I've ministered with you before and you have a great team of volunteers. But how much more if this one church were to give you these type of resources, and another church another type of resources, or the bodies, you know, the people just came to show up and help to do those as well. Yeah. So I understand what you're saying with that. So we're going to go into a short break and we're going to come back. But for people who want to get more information about you, or perhaps they're in Greenville and they want to join in with you guys as volunteers, what's a good way they can touch base or get in touch with you guys?
Well, a couple ways is I'm on Facebook. So you can look me up at Minister Travis L. Boyd, that's B-O-Y-D, on Facebook, or look us up at T.L. Boyd Ministries, LLC, on Facebook.
Okay.
And also, I have a number, 864-800-2521, so they can reach out to me in those ways.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so y'all stay locked and loaded. Again, we're talking to Minister Travis Boyd. We're going to be talking more about the youth and how the youth can become more involved in the church. We're going to be talking about men as well. And we're going to get into some more, I guess, life stories about yourself, Travis, and how you came to Christ. So y'all stick around. Don't go anywhere. This is your man, Frank For Reals. Y'all swerve.
You're listening to Swerve.
I rock guys.
Motivating teens to take a positive route.
Hey, buddy.
Let's get
Rerouted.
What's good, Swerve Nation? Welcome back, everybody, to the gateway to the hottest music and Wheel Talk Radio. Everybody, we have a special guest back in the building with us again, Minister Travis Boyd. Thank you again for taking time to join us, bro.
Amen. No problem, bro.
Man, I'm enjoying the conversation, and I'm ready to get into some more meatiness of things, because a lot of times, man, I find out that people look at a ministry or look at a person, and then they may envy them from afar, or they may not fully understand the backstory of people who's doing great things. And you're one of the ones, as I begin to find out more about you, man, your roots run deep. So, you know, you have stake in a lot of things because of, you know, your foundation. So I'm going to back up, man, and I just want you to take the liberty of talking about your testimony as a youth, some of your hardships that you've encountered, and then ultimately what led you to Christ.
Gotcha. So at the age of 3 years old, my mom passed. She died. My brother was 5 years old. My mom died of leukemia. They called us up to the room, and as she laid there on the bed or whatnot, she spoke to me and my brother, basically in a sense, you know, you all stay together no matter what. She said some more things or whatnot, and at that particular time, she laid her head and she passed on. That's the only thing that I can remember of her. So she died at the age of 3. My father was strung out on drugs, so he was never around with us to help us after my mom passed or whatnot. That played a big role in my life, not having that father figure around. I got into the drug game. I got interested into the drug game at the age of 11. I started selling drugs and you know, shootouts and guns and the block, you know, later on in life, jail and back and forth in jail and prison and just all kind of stuff, man, you name it.
Yeah.
So I mean, people was addicted to the drugs I was selling, and I was addicted to the money. But at one point I got into prison. I ended up going to prison later on in life. And at the last point, you know, I was back and forth. I was asking God to get me out. They had stacked charges on me. I had like 50 something charges.
Wow.
And I was asking God, like, God, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you. I do your will or whatnot. And God spoke to me and said, you can serve me right here where you are.
Oh, wow.
You're not ready to come out. So I started preaching on the yard. I started teaching people in the prison and things of that nature. And I began to pray more and study more. And at one point in the room, in that full concrete, you know, in that cell or whatnot, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, when I bring you out, don't forget. So basically, don't forget the things that you told me, the things that you told me that you were going to do when you got out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the family, the tears you cried up underneath the sheet, laying on that prison bunk or whatnot. Don't forget.
Yeah.
You know, and I cried out to God on that concrete floor, and God made a way out of no way. Those 50 something charges ended up getting dropped.
Wow.
Down to like 1-2 charges, basically like misdemeanors.
Yeah.
I got out, and I just ran with it. I set goals for myself while I was in prison, and when I got out, I just went full force, man, and I still haven't forgot where God brought me from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a lot of testimonies, man. I mean, it could take a whole segment, radio,
yeah,
you know, to just get it all out. But I'm thankful, man, that God changed my life. I changed my mindset and my whole life changed.
Right, right. Now, a few things that you said, I want to kind of get you to go back to. I first want to find out, when you was in prison, did you have mentors, or was there an outside ministry that came in and ministered to you guys? What was that experience like? Did God just come to you audibly, or how did you come to Christ in that manner?
Well, I grew up in the church. My mom, my grandmother's evangelist, and other people was in the ministry, and they always told me, you know, God got a calling on your life, and God want to use you. And it seemed like no matter where I went, somebody always brought that up, that people that didn't even know me and said, God, I got a calling on your life, and I tried to run from it. People used to come into the prison and preach and pray over us and talk to us, and you know, even then people was telling me that. So
okay,
you know, I just couldn't run from it no more.
And then I was asking that because of prison ministry, and that's something that I'm involved in, and again, that's another extension of ministry that people need to get into, is not to forget those who are incarcerated, because there's people like yourself who have those giftings and callings embedded within them, and they just need to be reminded of those things, you know. And so thankfully you had those people coming in and out to see you. And another thing you said was you began to set goals, and you had those mentors, and there's something I heard today, actually, a minister say that if God don't deliver you out of that test, he'll keep you through the process. And we have to be reminded of that. So the times that you thought you was ready to get out, he didn't let you get out, you know, and that was a God moment, but he still kept you through that process, man. And God saw the bigger picture. And so I just want to remind somebody that no matter what you're going through, if you're listening to this and you're incarcerated, or you may be going through a divorce or just a tough time, whatever, you know, you may not be delivered from that situation, but that's God working on you. So embrace that. He's going to keep you through this process, and you can best believe that. So, Minister Travis, we're going to take a quick break, man, and we're going to come back with more from you. We're going to have a conversation about our teens in this next segment. So everybody stay locked and loaded. Don't go anywhere. This is your man, Frank for Reals. Y'all swerve.
You're listening to Swerve.
A rock guy.
Motivating teens to take a positive route.
Hey, buddy.
Let's get rerouted.
What's good, Swerve Nation? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the gateway to the hottest music and real talk radio. You're sitting here with your man, Frank for Reals. And I have, again, my special guest online with us, Minister Travis Boyd. Thank you again, brother, for taking time to join us. And thank you also for being so open about your testimony, how you came to Christ. I think it's important that people hear these stories of the ministers and the ones that set before us. As we segue into this next topic or talk about our teens, I think sometimes they look at us, man, they can either be a little intimidated, they can feel like they can't reach where we are in the pulpit, and it's really not about that. And so right now, man, let's talk a little bit about our teenagers and teens and the church. How can the church become more inviting to teens? How can teens become more effective in their church and where they're serving? Because some don't even want to go. Parents are making them go, but it's a different story when you have teens that's waking up in the morning and saying, I'm looking forward to going to church, just like I'm looking forward to going to school and hanging out with my friends. So how can we get there as teens, parents, and as a church?
So I think being more inviting, you know, teens in church, you know, us being more inviting to the teens by actually living that life at home, first off.
Yeah.
You know, setting that example and creating that image at home, not just doing what, you know, doing church at church, but being the church outside of the four walls.
Yeah.
And letting our teens see us being examples and reflecting Christ, not just in the four walls, but outside the four walls.
Yeah.
Being able to set that atmosphere that they feel comfortable talking to us, not thinking that we've been perfect all our lives, or people that's in church that are perfect, and not being judgmental, giving them a sense of responsibility when they are at church,
right?
You know, getting them active or whatnot.
Yeah. What about having those real conversations, man? Because, you know, we can let them know that, hey, you know, dad or mom wasn't always perfect. But like, how far into like those deep, dirty, hard conversations should we go, like sex or your body and things changing and drugs and things like that? You know, so we may tell them, hey, dad used to do this, don't do that. But what about opening up and saying, you know, this is actually what mom or dad did? You know, when should those conversations come up, or should they even come up at all?
I think they should. You know, a lot of the elders or older people might say, you know, give that talk to your children about the birds and bees. But with my children, I really don't speak on the metaphors. It's just dependent on how old they are.
Yeah, not dumbing it down.
Yeah, I don't want them to try to, when they get into a situation like that, I don't want them to think of birds and bees and metaphors, and they're still trying to figure it out, like what was dad or mom really talking about. So yeah. I tell my son, he's 15, I just, you know, tell him the truth. Mm-hmm. I tell him the truth and let him go from there, and my daughters too.
Good. So that's good. That's good, because they're getting it in real time, bro. You like from TikTok, from Instagram, you know, exactly. Ways is different, you know, than it was for us. They get it so much quicker. And then there's a lot of secrecy with these things now, you know, and so with social media. And so I think we should be more involved and aware also of what's going on with our teens and social media. Another question I wanted to pose to you is teens serving and putting their faith on display. And you hit it, man. Like one reason why teens don't minister or whatever or share their faith is because they don't have an example at home of what it should even look like. But can you think of going to any other ways where teens can serve effectively and where they can actually put their faith on display?
So I think, like, in our churches, we should, like, when we have, like, youth days or not just youth Sunday or whatnot, but actually allow the youth to carry on the whole service. And throughout church, we should allow, like, the youth to tag along or to foreshadow, you know, the pastor, or foreshadow the ushers, or foreshadow the finance committee or whatnot. And teach them how to do those things and give them a responsibility in the church. Man. That way, when the elders get older or something like that, they have somebody that they already passed that wisdom on to, or pass that torch on to, that can take over.
That's good.
You know,
start grooming them up now. Yeah, that's real good. And also get them to maybe give the word, you know, because I remember there was one situation back when I was in Florida. We would have our teens do, like, they would present the word or whatever, but we would do Bible study with them so that we would go through the scriptures with them so they can know how do you prepare a message, you know, how do you read the Bible and get that together. And so just have them actually go up and give a 5-minute word in some kind of way. Yeah. So those are good things, man. And so I know your heart for teens and your heart for the streets. I know you have those teens out in the streets too, which is raw. You know, you get them out there. So that's another good way. So we're going to step aside and take another break. And when we come back, I want you to talk more about our men and how we can do better in community, in our homes, as leaders, and all those good things. So people, stick around or go anywhere. Again, we got Minister Travis Boyd online with us, and he's coming back with us to wrap things up. And this is your man, Frank For Reals. Y'all swerve.
You're listening to Swerve. Motivating teens to take a positive route.
Hey, buddy.
Let's get rerouted.
What's good, Swerve Nation? We are coming back at you. More of Swerve Teen Talk Radio, the gateway to the hottest music, Real Talk Radio. And during this time, we've been talking to Minister Travis Boyd all about his life, ministry, teens, and how to get them better serving and involved in the church and in community. And Travis, again, thank you for joining us, bro. And we're going to wrap this up and get you to talk more about men. Let's talk about our men. You know, where do we fit in? Where do we stand with all these things as husbands, as pastors, as leaders in our community, in the homes? From your heart, man, pour out and give whatever word you have about our men and how we can do better in those different areas of life.
So I think as men, first off, we have to be able to submit unto authority, submit unto God. You know, we often want our women or whatnot to submit to us, but we don't want to submit to God. So we have to submit to authority. That way, everything can be in order like God commanded it to be. You know, we have to lead by an example. Mm-hmm. We can't lead from the back, pointing everybody else which way to go. We have to lead from the front, you know, show people the way. We have to come together as men. We have a lot of women coming together, but us as men, we don't often just come together. Wow. You know, and where there's a lot of men and there's strength, there's power. And let our women see that, you know, not just in the communities, but most definitely first off in the homes. Mm-hmm. You know, and step into our communities and take back our rightful positions as men.
Yeah.
So that we can be more effective.
You know, I noticed too in churches, man, there's still a lot of men that's dealing with like daddy issues and wearing a mask. And so they are potentially very strong and powerful men. But underneath a lot of that armor is still that little boy. What words can you say to our brothers, man, to get them to open up and say, hey, you know, I do need help. It doesn't disqualify me from being in these positions. But, yo, you know, there's still some things I'm struggling to. I mean, I saw a statistic, man, that there's still a lot of men in leadership that's struggling with pornography. They still have anger issues, but man, they are so powerful and still effective. So how would you minister and talk to those brothers to do better in those areas?
It's just, you know, getting over the fact of, you know, a lot of us was raised that men are supposed to be strong. We don't supposed to cry. We don't supposed to, you know, that's a sign of weakness if we do share what's inside of us.
Yeah.
And you're totally right. It's a lot of men that are grown, but still have that little child inside of them that they haven't dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming together as men or having an atmosphere of men that we can share what's on our hearts and what's in us without being judged or without somebody taking it elsewhere or whatnot or looking down on us. But, you know, we have to open up more and let that out. We have to let that out in order to be healed and made whole.
Absolutely.
We first must acknowledge that we do have a problem, that we are sick, that we are dealing with something.
Wow, that's good. Yeah. I had saw a social media post that it said that men need to know that it's okay to talk about their feelings, to ask for help. Men need to know it's okay to break down. It's okay to cry. It's okay to need to be supported. Men, it's okay to go to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to not be okay. And like you said, man, depending on how you was raised, yeah, you don't punk out, man. You don't cry, you know, you don't do those things, you know. But again, you're not going to get the help if you're not vulnerable to open up. And sadly, we're in a society that tells all of it. I think what we're not there now. It seems like after COVID, since COVID, people are being more open towards therapy and things of that nature. But I don't want to hang it up on therapy because I don't think you can medicate a demon. You know, you got to you still got to bind and rebuke, man, you know, and plead the blood of Jesus. But if there's anything that we hadn't talked about, you know, during this time that's still in your heart, can you share those things now and just, you know, close us out in any final words?
I just want to encourage people, man, that especially the men or basically everybody, you know, that if you change your mindset, if you can get your mindset changed, you know, you can change your whole life, you know, by changing your thought pattern.
Yeah.
You know, and also, you know, encourage yourself. You may be in certain situations that you're looking for somebody to support you and you're looking for other people to encourage you. Sometimes you just have to look in the mirror and encourage yourself.
Right.
Because, you know, if you have a pulse, you still have a purpose. God still have you here for a specific reason. That's why you're not dead and gone yet.
Absolutely.
You know, you still have a purpose. And, you know that you're worthy. Know that you're worth it, because society has told us we're not worthy. We're not worth it. We grew up and people told us you never amount to nothing. You'll never be nothing. You
sure
end up
enough.
In prison. You end up like your daddy or
yep.
your mother, probably doing wrong or whatnot. So you got to know that God is always there for us with open arms, you know. And the best thing you can do, the best decision you can make in your life, is giving your life to Christ.
Yeah.
It's just opening up, because He's the only one that can change us. He's the only one that can change us. But we have to acknowledge or accept the fact that we need to be changed.
Yeah.
We got to want to change.
Well, man, we got to wrap this up. This is some really good stuff, man. And so I would like to maybe in 2024 come back, you know, round table talking and do some more talking, you know, like this and go a little bit deeper and maybe talk about some other topics or whatever. But for someone who's local enough and can maybe get to you, you have a lot of community events coming up. And I know you have some things coming up around Thanksgiving, maybe the new year. But what's again a good way that someone could get in touch with you, or maybe look at your social sites to see what you guys have on the calendar?
Yeah, they can. You can all reach me on social media, on Facebook at Minister Travis L. Boyd, that's B-O-Y-D, or T.L. Boyd Ministries, LLC on Facebook. And you can reach me on my mobile at 864-800-2521 at any time. So,
all right. And I'm going to tell y'all, man, this man is, he on the go. So if you connect, you better be ready to move, shake and bake and work, you know, because my man ain't playing. And so, look, Travis, I appreciate you, man, for what you're doing. You are a great example of leadership as a father, as what ministry is supposed to look like. You know, if they looked it up in the dictionary, your face and your ministry will be there. So I deeply appreciate what you're doing, man. So thank you.
Thank you, bro.
All right, so look, Swerve Nation, we're going to go ahead and make our way on out of here. We'll be back again with another exciting episode. But until then, remember, whatever God has for you, it is never in your past. This is your man, Frank for Reals, and y'all swerve.